Have you ever wondered why other people seem to hear from God or have signs from God more than you? I have. Thank you. I have. Well, that's because God communicates to each one of us in a unique way. And maybe we need to recognise that. I've been reading a book by a lady called Joyce Huggett. It's very old. In fact, I didn't realise quite how old. It's from the 80s, which made me feel old. But Joyce Huggett has written this book called Listening to God. Joyce was an ordinary Christian who told God her problems and her despairs, as many of us will. And then there was a change. Slowly, she began to realise that God revealed himself to her when she was quiet before him. She explains how she would sit or kneel, relax, allow those tensions to just drift away. We need to learn how to do that, don't we? And focus on God, and a miracle would happen. And this is what she says. As I closed my eyes to shut out the visual stimuli, and as I closed my ears, as it were, by dealing authoritatively with all the distractions, it was as though, on one hand, I closed the shutters on the surface level of my life, thus holding at bay hindrances to hearing that still small voice of God. And on the other hand, I released a trigger which gave deeper, inner, hidden parts of myself permission to spark. I would sometimes detect an inner stirring, being alerted to pick up any and every signal that the indwelling royal guest might choose to give. The indwelling royal guest. How often are we so busy? And this is a word in season, may I say, for many of us, because we've had some conversations this week that suggest just that. So how often are we so busy running from one place to another, from one task to another? How busy are we with our head in our phone or our tablet or our iPad? Are we rushing around trying to get home in time for our favourite soap? How often are we still and quiet for that indwelling royal guest to have his will? Sometimes we just need to stop. If you're anything like me, you feel very guilty if you are seen to be doing nothing. But actively doing nothing and just waiting in God's presence is never a waste of time. Imagine just being in the presence of your partner or your best friend is never time wasted. Even if you're sitting in silence, you still know they're there. Just having them there is enough. Well, the same is true of God. Just having him present and you being present, not with your mind elsewhere, is time well spent. How can we hear from God if we're too busy to listen or to feel his presence? We'll talk about listening in a little while. Val lent me a book this week, and it's called David Watson, Fear No Evil. Now, David Watson was an international evangelist and preacher, and it is suggested that he's one of the most influential Christian preachers in the latter part of the 20th century. So he would spend all his time evangelizing, preaching, doing stuff for God, doing God's work. And he was diagnosed with cancer. And at one point, it's right at the back of the book. Okay? This is what he says. God's been far from inactive in my life. At about 1 a.m. on Advent Sunday morning, I had a bad asthmatic attack. In my helplessness, I cried out to God to speak to me. I'm not very good at listening to God. But between 1 and 3 a.m., God spoke to me so powerfully and painfully that I have never felt so broken before. And I still do. He showed me that all my preaching, writing, and other ministry, good as it was absolutely nothing compared to my love relationship with him. In fact, my sheer busyness had squeezed out the close intimacy I had known with him during the first few months of the year after my operation. He was so busy doing jobs for God, that actually he didn't have time to stop and just wallow in God's presence. So as well as stopping, we need to look. Hence, anyone now will have picked up that this sermon is called Stop, Look, and Listen. In ancient Israel, the high priests wore a vest with two stones on, called, I think, Urim and Thummim. Is that right? Thank you. Whenever a question about God's will was brought to the priest, he would ask God to give him an answer. And this is how it would happen. If the stone on the left glowed, it indicated divine approval. If the stone on the right glowed, it indicated God's disapproval. How do we wish we were like the Israelites, getting a yes or a no answer, as plain as that from God? It's not always quite so simple, is it, for us? We heard part of the story of Gideon, who was told by an angel that he, unremarkable as he was, a young man, would be the one to free the people of Israel. Doubting his own qualifications, Gideon made a proposition to God, as we heard about the fleece. And God used that fleece to speak to Gideon. Wouldn't it be great if we could do things like that? That a perplexing problem that we had would be answered in such a way. Well, that might not happen often now, but we do have opportunities to see different signs from God, and Val spoke a little bit about that earlier on. That said, let's not limit God and suggest that he can't do those things. But let's always be ready for the signs and the surprises. Be alert to what God has in store for us. Look for God in all things. And in that same book, Joyce Huggett is suggesting how you can see God very well through nature. She says, by observing the ant's strength to store up food all summer long, we learn about wisdom and industriousness. By studying the heavens, we understand more of God's greatness. And through planting and growing a garden, we experience those miracles of death and rebirth. God designed and spoke them all into existence. And she explains, and I've done something similar to this, she explains how the Bishop of Repton, when she was in a conference, suggested that people just take a flower and look at the flower and look at it from this way and turn it around and look at it from that way. Look inside, look from underneath, look from above. Look at it from all angles. And then just think, what is God trying to say through this object? What's he saying to me? And how can I take that into my life? It could be a flower, it could be a stone. It may not be something from nature. It may be a postbox. God can actually use any of those things to give us a sign and to speak to us. He also uses circumstances, ordinary circumstances, and ordinary events. Gary spoke a while back about, I can't remember which version you said, whether the man was on the roof or he was looking out the window, but the man who was in the flood, the version I know is he's on the roof, and along come several people to help him, to save him, and he says, no, I'm waiting for God to come. And then he died, went to heaven, and God said, but I sent all these people Very short, Tracy. Okay? But God presented him the opportunities, and actually he refused them. He actively refused the opportunities that God had sent him. God can speak to us through the simplest of events and the simplest of circumstances. Jeremiah observed a potter at work, and he heard God say to him that just as the potter can shape the clay in any way he chooses, so God can do whatever he pleased with the nation of Israel. When Samuel turned to Saul, to leave Saul and grabbed his robe and tore it, Samuel told Saul this was a message from God. The Lord had torn the kingdom from Saul's hand and had given it to another who would be a better servant. When we find our attention being drawn to a specific circumstance or event, we need to become alert to the possibility that God may be speaking through it. Be alert to the opportunities that God is offering you. So what else should we be looking at or looking for? Well, God's word is the greatest source of encouragement, guidance, warning, lessons for life. 2 Timothy 3 says that all scripture is God-breathed. This means God is whispering and sometimes shouting through his word. Have you ever opened your Bible at a particular passage and it's been just the one you have needed to hear at that particular time? I'm sure many of us can identify with that. But looking is not enough. Not in this instance. We must have stopped, and then we need to digest and meditate on God's word. So stop, look, and listen. Suppose I go into the doctors and I say, oh my goodness, I got this terrible, terrible pain in my shoulder, and this knee's really giving me a load of jip, and I've got a really itchy eye, and I've got a bit of a pain in my back here, and I've got a bit of a headache. And then as the doctor goes to speak, I say, ta-da, see you, I haven't got time now. And I go. How weird would that be? But how often do we do that with God? We sit, we give him our list. You know, it might be, I've got a bad back, I've got a bad this, that, and the other, I need help with this, this great big shopping list. And then we go, I'm in. And off we go. And actually, we don't sit and give God time to answer. I can see that that's resonating with quite a lot of people in the room. So remember next time when you sit and pray, remember that you're in the doctor's surgery. Okay? And it may just make you think, oh, I need to just wait for the diagnosis. The same as children. When my children were young, both my children had perfect hearing, but they didn't necessarily listen. Until perhaps I'd say just one thing that would catch their attention, like, do you want some sweets? Or, we used to joke about if you say, do you want a fiver? Everybody hears. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We're just waiting for that one thing. And it's generally the one thing we want to hear. We're waiting for that one thing from God that we want to hear. God doesn't always tell us what we want to hear. He tells us what we need to hear. And that's very different. So our relationship is a two-way thing. God is still able to speak to us if we are available to listen. In the story we heard of Noah, Noah actually heard God's voice. Now, I often think about this. If I heard God's voice today, and he said, right, Amanda, I want you to go and build an ark, I think I'd be going, I don't think so. I don't know how any of you have watched Evan Almighty, the film with Steve Carell and Morgan Freeman. It may or may not be a cup of tea, but actually the way in which God comes and speaks to Evan, i.e. Noah, in that is really quite powerful. Morgan Freeman is stood alongside the guy that's playing Evan, and he's telling him exactly what he needs to do. It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? It must have seemed ridiculous to Noah. And the ridiculousness of that comes through in that film. You know, if God asked you to do something that you thought was really quite ridiculous, would you just brush it off? Or would you think, oh my goodness me, okay, it's a challenge, but I'm listening and I'm ready to go. I'm challenging myself there. So we hear voices in various forms from all sorts of places now, don't we? Far more so than we ever did. You know, we've got the TV, the radio, the internet. Our lives are full of voices, and not always voices that are helpful to our Christian growth. We need to guard ourselves too from hearing the voice of Satan tempting us and goading us. And Satan's voice can take many forms. This morning when I was, I think it was my Bible plan on my phone, the lady was talking about a spiritual advisory board. And I thought, that sounds a bit high and mighty. But what she meant was, and actually this is a really good idea, it's a group of Christians that you trust, who teach you, advise you, challenge you. You know, it could be the church leaders, it could be your parents, if they're Christians, it could be a mentor, a friend, but people who challenge you and whose voice you trust and who you listen to. So I think the notion of a spiritual advisory board, I think is something that, you know, I don't like the term, but it's something that perhaps we could change the name of and adopt. So as well as his own voice, God uses the voice of other people to speak to us, and often the most unlikely people. And this story really spoke to me. On February the 7th, 1938, a German pastor called Martin Niemöller needed to hear from God desperately. This particular morning, Martin was led from his prison cell to the courtroom for his trial. His crime? Daring to speak against Adolf Hitler. Martin had been so courageous in the weeks and months leading up to that day. As he began the long walk towards judgment, he found himself overcome with fear for himself and for the people that he loved. Martin needed to hear from God. The guard who led him along the passageway seemed cold as stone. But after a moment, Martin began to hear a soft whispering. He listened more carefully and finally realized it was the guard's voice. God's message to Martin was being delivered through the unlikeliest of messengers, a soldier of the Third Reich. He was whispering from Proverbs, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." This brought great comfort and courage to Martin. How unlikely was it that he would expect to have heard that? So do we have our ears closed to certain people or certain groups of people? Do we feel that God couldn't possibly use them? Or actually couldn't possibly use us? Well, we're wrong. God can and does use unlikely people to tell us what he wants us to know. But we need to listen. In the Bible, God spoke to a fair few people through dreams, visions, prophecies. And he still does today, but some Christians think this is all a bit weird, but it is a biblical promise. And I'm suggesting that perhaps we explore that another day together and equip ourselves to be open to God's will. Have you ever felt an unease? This is a little bit of what Val was saying as well. Have you ever felt an unease about a certain situation or a circumstance? Or, alternatively, just drawn to something. possibility to serve, a job, a relationship, whatever it might be, that stirring that you feel that could possibly be a nudge from God. However, we do need to use wisdom and discernment, but we do need to continue to listen to our own spirit alongside God's word. Listen to the stirring in your soul. So, she says, this has spoken too much. How exciting, is this exciting or is this scary?
Both.
It is a bit scary and it is a bit, yeah. But it is exciting. And I think so many of us read the Bible and we say, that was for then. Why doesn't God do these things today? But he does. But he does. But we have to be open. My children, when they were young, used to watch a DVD, as children do, over and over and over again. Dave Benson Phillips or something it was, a singing DVD. So we've always been singing in our house. And it was lots of different songs. And this song was, stop, I was going to sing it, but I'm going to not now. It's, stop, look and listen before you cross the road. Follow the lollipop to the other side. Follow the lollipop. It will be your guide. Okay? So, stop, look and listen. That's where I got this stop, look and listen from. Stop, look and listen before you cross the road. Follow the lollipop, i.e. the lollipop man, okay, or lady, to the other side. Follow the lollipop. It will be your guide. And that's exactly the same as God. Stop, look, and listen. Let God be your guide. And even better, he will take us safely to his side. Let's just be quiet before the Lord.